Now, I read Acts chapter 16 in the first service. The reason I went through Acts chapter 16 is I was trying to build the foundation of the sin that man has primarily is to say that we can be gods of our own life, distinguishing for ourselves what good and evil is. Okay? And I was saying that until we have a resurrected body, until we are rid of this flesh, either from being absent from the body and being present with the Lord, or like we all hope we go up at the last, at the trump, the call, in the twinkling of an eye, this body that's filled with rotten desires in the flesh will be changed. Amen? Amen. And I don't have to worry about disappointing anybody. I don't have to worry about, first of all, disappointing God. You say, what's the two great commandments? Can somebody give them to me? Love the Lord your God with soul, mind, strength. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt. In these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? So I can't wait until I can love you guys perfectly. Won't that be good? Right? I'm going to be making mistakes while I'm down here on this earth. I hope that didn't sound weird. Sounds like a song that some band wrote. Love you perfectly. But I want to, in the truest, most spiritual sense, love God perfectly and love you perfectly. And we can do that. We don't have to fall. You say, Pastor, we don't have to fall. Keep your hands in Galatians and go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, do you know every Christian has a God nature in him? What? It's called the new life. It was opened up by the Holy Spirit, and the whole Trinity presides in it, according to Ephesians chapter 4, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hey, he resides in you. Now, I don't want to limit him to you. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? Sometimes we say we have all of God, and he just needs to get all of us. Ugh! God is omnipresent. And there might be some things in God through the Holy Spirit's power that he pours out on us at times. Okay? Does anybody understand that? But what I want to say is, we have in the, as much as God can limit himself, yet still hold all of his character, that's what we have of God living in us. Is that not a powerful thought? And in that, we have everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and to virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now do you see the dilemma? The corruption of the world through what? Lust. Where does that lust preside in a Christian? His flesh, his fleshly desires. Does everybody follow what I'm saying here? And what is this saying? He's saying, you have been given this new nature that is divinely, listen, divinely filled, so that you can use that new nature in your life to escape your fleshly desires that will connect you to this world because of the fleshly desires that every Christian still possesses. So what is this really foundationally saying? God dependence, not self dependence. That's what it's saying. So, verse 5, and besides these things, give all diligence. So what is our goal now? Well, our goal is to know that we have this new life living in us, that it's working in us. And what do we have to do? We have to give serious attention to add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So that new nature that is given to you, Philippians 2 tells us, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. So God is working in you. What our goal as Christians is to take our flesh and our body and their desires and to present them unto God as a living sacrifice, so that we might do our priestly duties, because now we are representatives of Christ and ambassadors of Christ, and we are put in the special position of being His priest, His representation to a lost and dying world. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship, or is your reasonable service. That's how we provide to God reasonable service, a living sacrifice. And what happens when that living sacrifice is given? That divine nature is activated, and now God lives His life through us, and He adds, through our surrender, all these things through that we just quoted in 2 Peter chapter 1. All right? Now, what does it say? 4, verse 8. For in these things, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So, Christian, if you don't want to fall, what do you have to be diligent about? Letting the Christ life live its life, or His life, through you. How does that happen, Pastor James? By the law. What you got to do is you got to live the law. Y'all should be saying, no, Pastor. Wrong, Pastor. No, Pastor. Oh, come on. You can say no. I give you permission. That's right. I knew Mrs. Hornblower would step up to the plate. That would never fail. She's there. All right? What am I saying here? I'm trying to teach here. I'm trying to say, if you get yourself focused on your works, like every false religion does, you'll fail. You'll be blinded. You'll be tossed about to and fro, following every wind of doctrine, following all the emotional things. Look, in life, I am disappointed by you, and I will disappoint you also. If we face those disappointments, as close as my wife married perfect. That's a joke. somebody said we know. So as close as I, guess what? We still have disagreements. We still have fights. We still have things that we let each other down in. So do all of you that's married. Don't lie to me. All of you do. Now we have a choice in the middle of those disappointments to face that in dependence of the flesh, which will show you a law-based mentality. And you know what the law-based does? It condemns. And this is what I'm finding. If I'm not trusting in the Holy Spirit, I condemn others to build. How many have ever been there? Well, that person's an idiot. Oh, that person did. Oh, what? Oh, man, they're really stuck on a word I'm not allowed to say in front of my kids. Crazy. And if I preach that way, what am I going to be displaying to the whole church? Flesh. You say, Pastor, why don't you thunder against sin from the pulpit? Because I'd be in the flesh if I did. I'll preach against sin, and I'll lovingly say, guys, please, there's a better way. And I'll be talking to you and pleading with myself. Don't go that route. But if I started to be very sarcastic, look, Pastor knows where his weaknesses are. I can be very sarcastic. Pastor James can be I can be the king of sarcasm. How dare I? But you know what happens? Pastor James in the flesh. And flesh produces flesh. And then we produce an environment that's all about, well, I live up to this expectation, and that's how I get acceptance. That would destroy my heart if that's how you felt you got acceptance at Bethel Baptist Church. By living up to Pastor James's expectations. That means you would be flesh dependent, not Christ dependent. So, this is what we're fighting. These Jews that are trying to tie the Christians back. Now, who called Paul in verse number 1 of chapter number 1? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by who? Look at your Bibles, verse number 1. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Wow, his salutation lets you know who called him. This wasn't some man-decided call. This was a grace calling. This was a God-given calling. So it was a God-provided calling to Paul to do a purpose particularly in his redemptive plan. And that particular purpose that Paul fulfilled was an apostle to the Gentiles. God had in his plan that Paul would be called to a specific purpose. And I don't know where the sovereignty of God began and the will of Paul began, but it converged in a perfect way that I'll understand one day. Amen. I'll understand it better by and by. It converged in this perfect calling and this perfect enabling for Paul to do a perfect purpose of a perfect plan designed by God. Christian, we're part of a perfect family given perfect provision to fulfill a perfect plan with perfect empowering to fulfill that plan by God himself because he's called us to the work of the ministry. Now that should excite you. And that should say, glory be to God for his perfect equipping to his ministry. And how am I going to know that? By studying the scripture so I can quote a bunch of scripture and everybody can be like, wow, Pastor James can quote scripture. No, because in my... Old person, listen to me. Not that we have a lot of old people. Mature people in age, listen to me. We want to depend on what we think. We want to depend on what... you know what? I need to pray because I have this idea of how I should live. So let me pray to make God's perfect plan my perfect plan. No, that doesn't work, friend. What works is you getting into scripture, you studying scripture and that new nature being activated in the study of the scripture and the study of the character of God and the study of what he's provided to you in your position and that you become a living sacrifice totally given over to that position. And then that position does a work in you and it makes you follow a path that God has provided, not your desires have provided, and in that path that God has provided, he enables you to be well-pleasing to him so he can get all the glory and all the honor from it. And all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia, law be to you, and worry from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what the verse says? Well, then, isn't that what we preach? Come on. Do this, do that. Worry about this, worry about that. Care about, hey, I'm talking to myself. Care about what this person thinks or that person thinks instead of what God thinks. Oh, man, if I make this decision, I won't be accepted by the brethren. You don't think that I worry about that sometimes in the flesh? No, it says grace. Now, this is a... there's no way. Guys, this is going to work out to a longer series sermon. I can already tell. But it's so powerful. If we could just get this, it would revolutionize our Christian lives, wouldn't it? Like, if we could really get this understanding, we could live in a love-filled, grace-filled community that encouraged each other to the calling of God so that God might be glorified in it. We would work to that end. We wouldn't work with making robots. I'm a robot. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that as a robot. We could see empowered people for the glory of God in any position God puts them in that is all moral in nature, that doesn't have morality in nature. We could see godly doctors, godly lawyers, godly preachers, godly teachers. We could see godly electrical engineers, godly computer scientists, godly whatever calling. That's all moral nature. I don't think you can be a godly bartender or dance hall girl, okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? We could see godly individuals if we would get this, really get this, and make this the passion of our life. Look, we need some godly tradesmen, don't we? Some people that will get out in the trades work and have cussing and everything around in the middle of, oh man, this pipe's not fitting together. Oh man, that hole I just bored was 18 inches off, and it's going to take me another week and a half to fix it. And now I'm going to get at the end of my contract and not make money. How many of you been there? Raise your hand, Gord. Right? You've been there. He missed the whole thing. Tell him later. He literally missed the whole thing. How many of you have ever been there? The job isn't going right, and you lose your temper, you get in your flesh, you say some words you shouldn't say, right? You act out in the flesh instead of the spirit. When God had the opportunity and had the empowerment, and you had the design privilege of living that in your life at that very moment for His honor, His glory, and His praise. Amen. I'm not getting loud because I'm mad. I'm getting loud because I'm excited. And if you can yell at your hockey games, I can yell behind the pulpit. Not in anger, but in excitement. Oh. Listen, you should all be begging that this takes root in your pastor's life, and that if we have other people that come alongside me and provide oversights for the church, that this takes root in their life. This unbelievable privilege of grace. This unbelievable privilege of grace that provides peace. Oh, it's a moment by moment struggle, isn't it? Biggest struggle I feel this in is my children. Because they're like me, they think they know everything. How many have ever raised kids that think they know everything? All parents should have their hands up. Right? Now, you've done this before, and it's turned out this way. Are you sure that you... Dad, you never let me try anything. Yeah, because it's gross the way you try it. Try it a different way, and we'll be happy. Right? Let's try it the right way. All right? No, sorry. They make beautiful food. They're great kids. But sometimes they think that they don't have to follow instructions and they can just throw things together and I'm supposed to like it. How many have ever been there? It's gross. You're supposed to follow the directions. The worst is, though, when they don't follow the directions and it's good, and I got to tell them it's good. Yeah, this tastes good. It looks like, I don't know what it looks like, but it tastes good. So, listen to me. Don't we do the same as adults? God says, hey, husbands, love your wife. Hey, wives, willingly subject yourselves to the direction of your husbands. And we say, we got a better way. You know, God got it wrong. God didn't know who I was going to marry. I mean, he was saying that to somebody that married somebody perfect. God had no clue, although he has all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, perfectly. He didn't know I was going to really mess up on who I married. No, he wants to provide to you power in whatever you find in your life. And it's not done through law. It's done through his grace. Amen? Amen? Well, I'll tell you what. If I had a wife that would obey me instead of taking that credit card and spending all my money, it'd be a lot easier to love her. Well, if I just had a husband that you know, loved me and cared about my wishes and my needs and it'd be so easy to submit to him. Amen. But God can give you power to do your job for his glory no matter what situation you're in. He can provide that for you. He can do that for you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for you. And if he died for you while he's enemies, how much will he live his life through you, who he saved and made part of his family. Romans chapter 5. You are truly in a privileged position, Christian. That position will never be worked out through works. It will only be worked out through grace. Amen. Amen. As old preachers used to say, if you can't say oh, amen, you better say oh my. We look at this and we rejoice in our position. Now, what has happened? Paul's gone to these Galatians. He's preached a simple, pure salvation message. What I mean by simplicity. He's not adding a bunch of other stuff to salvation. He's keeping it purely focused on Christ and what Christ did for them. Amen? That's the gospel, the good news of my good works. No, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that gospel was preached in sincerity and truth, with purity of heart and with the power of the Holy Spirit present in the preaching. What happened? He leaves, and these messengers of Satan, these demonic influence, they look like messengers of light according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but they're really messengers of Satan, come in and say, you know what? Paul, he got it wrong. What you really have to do is you have to start with grace, but works has to come in. And if works don't come in and you don't start living out the Old Testament law, then you're really not saved. How persuasive were these people? Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. And now this is talking about after Acts chapter 15 that we preached this morning. People decided that the uncircumcised were now in the peculiar position of preaching and also being accepted and filled with the Holy Ghost, the redemption plan. We're in that phase of the redemption plan where now God is working through the Gentile nations and his church in the Gentile nations, local assembly of like-minded believers. His body now is empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they're now doing the work of the ministry. And what happens? They're trying to put them back in bondage to the old law, back into bondage to the things they could never keep. How persuasive were they? Look at verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Who persuaded Peter? That had to be pretty persuasive for Peter to fall into this false doctrine. Peter, who was, and it's not talking about number, it's talking about authority, was the first among the apostles. He was the spokesman for the apostles. Now, they were all equally apostles, but Peter's role in apostleship at that time was he led. So the devil must have had his sights on Peter, and they were placed on Peter, And Paul had to withstand Peter to the face. Hey, by the way, this is why it really helps to have equality in pastoral shepherding of a church. Because a person that is a pastor by himself, nobody feels comfortable to withstand them to the face. And guess what I know about myself? Thank God I have Pastor Unger that withstands me at times to my face. You're wrong, James. Oh, who thinks we have, I'm perfect. What do you mean I'm wrong? And this is a problem in our movement. These self-declared popes of a church that nobody feels comfortable withstanding to the face at times. Listen, if Peter needed withstood to the face, James McDonald needs withstood to the face at times by an equal. You guys are getting excited. Withstand Pastor to the face now. I'm being so influenced by this study. This is so powerful to me. What did they do? Because he was to blame. He was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them with which were of the circumcision. Hey, guess what I know about Peter? We fear sometimes what other people think about us. And we need to be reminded, oh, what does God think about you? So as long as I can have the brother's approval, everything's A-okay. No. As long as I can have God's life living through me through a surrendered, sacrificial giving of a living sacrifice that enables me to do his work that he's called me to do, then God gets the glory. And I don't need anybody's approval if I have God's approval. Amen? That doesn't mean I shouldn't listen to wise counsel. That doesn't mean I shouldn't listen to people that show me his word where I'm wrong. They're showing me where God says I'm wrong. I need to change and I need to see that I've fallen away from my privileged position as far as its practical outpouring in my life today because I've listened to the flesh instead of to God. You guys getting the basics of where we're going here? It's a foundational thing that we have to understand that God is the only one. Now, he's given us his word. It's not like, I just care what God thinks. And I'm going to walk around life just saying that over and over and never studying the scriptures and never being led by the Spirit and direction in my life as I study the scripture. No. You have everything provided to you that has to do with life and godliness because of your position in Christ. Live it out. Live it out through grace. That's your privilege as a Christian, to live out your position that is filled with grace and not self-effort. Self-sacrifice, self-surrender, not self-effort. God does the effort through a sacrificed body that is living and serving him. That's your whole life, Christian. And we just bad enough that it takes all life to figure it out, right? I got to surrender this. Oh, God, I see. And this is why Galatians 5 is so important, and we'll get into that. There's this fruit of the flesh. There's an uplifting of self over God. There's an uplifting and being a production of envying and strife and fleshly fornication in my mind and things that aren't right according to your word. That means I'm listening to the flesh because I'm not filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Don't worry, let it ring because I can speak louder than the ring. Though I'm long-suffering, peace, gentleness, kindness, faith, temperance, I have that now because I'm living according to the direction of the Holy Spirit instead of the direction of my flesh and its desires. What a powerful thought. What an awesome, awesome thought. Do you understand your privilege in your position, Christian? Are you making your life about surrendering to God so he can work that position out? Still haven't got to my text. Here's Peter worrying about what the brethren have this day instead of worrying about what God. You know, I thought about this. Wasn't Peter the one that's given was given the vision to go to the Gentiles to eat unclean things? Do you know he allowed himself to get in a position where direct experience with God was less important than what people thought about him? If that can happen to him, that can happen to us. So family, church family, are we ready to live by grace? Are we ready to fall on our faces and be serious about learning the scriptures to know what we have in Christ and then surrendering to that every moment of every day? At every opportunity we could react in the flesh. God, I need your help. I need your grace. This flesh right now is building up. I need to be able to discipline my kids in grace, not in the flesh. So many people say, I lived out Proverbs. I lived out Proverbs. Every time they mouthed off to me, it was in the bedroom. If they lied to me, it was in the bedroom, pants down. But I lost my temper. And I got on the verge of abuse instead of godly discipline. And now my kids don't want anything to do with God. Because you try to live out the principles of the Bible through flesh instead of grace. Well, I'm just going to be awful. I'm just going to be soft. My kids can do whatever they want, and I'm going to sit back and say, I need to show them grace. That means no confronting their sin. No, you need to be empowered in your position so that you can be biblically face a problem with the power of God and deal with it instead of being in the flesh. You need to be able to biblically discipline your children. Listen, our kids need discipline. Do you listen in to my parents? Our kids desperately need discipline today. They are not going out into a better world than what you went out into. They're going out into a worse world. But what they desperately don't need is a person that's filled with the power of the flesh and the discipline. They need a person that is filled with grace and God's empowerment to follow the principles of the Bible. That's what we need. In love and tender mercy, applying the rod to the seat of education. That's what we need. What we don't need is flesh-filled people losing their temper on their children because you're just making my life miserable right now, and I'm going to make your life miserable. Trust me, I can hurt you a lot worse than you can hurt me. That's a flesh-filled parent. Right there. We need spirit-filled parents working out the principles of Scripture. Am I sending some direction for Bethel today? Can we be spirit-filled people? Can we be grace-filled people? Can we depend on grace instead of duty and I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to live according to this? Let me say, all of us are going to do things that disappoint one another. We're all going to make decisions that pastor might stand back and say, ooh, I don't like that decision. But you should never feel that any decision you make ever breaks our relationship. Because guess what? Any decision you make as a Christian never breaks your relationship with Christ. You are still a child of God. And he loves you. And he wants you to come back to grace.